97.5, The Fanatic.
Joe Torti, Devon Gibbons, 9:02 on this Tuesday night, session time. 41 games in the books. Game number 42 tomorrow. Sixers, Nets, back home at the center, 18-2. Joe, as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, Nat producing. Last eight games since the Christmas game against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Uh-oh.
2-6.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Two wins, Oklahoma City and Boston last week. Where? Here in Philadelphia.
Oh, a home win for the Sixers?
So, they have 14 games, Joe, left starting tomorrow through the All-Star break.
Okay, got it.
Last game of the All-Star break is the Los Angeles Clippers at home on February 11th.
Uh-huh.
Seven home, seven away.
Okay. What's that record going to be?
I cannot wait to find out. Whew. Cannot wait to find out.
Boy.
Yes. Yes.
They get 9 wins out of that? Those 14, they go 9-5 in that stretch?
That would be nice.
That works.
That would be nice.
We'll take 9-5.
Got the Clippers, Lakers.
There's some good teams in
Miami,
that group.
Yeah. Brooklyn, Atlanta on the road.
Yeah.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, not going 9-5.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
All right. Hater.
Am I?
No, you're okay. Not. No.
Just checking.
If so, we all are.
I always want to be checked tonight on that stuff.
And then fan or critic jumps back in and says, tomorrow, you get the Nets at home, who also play tonight. Another advantage game for the 76ers. Brooklyn, though, currently being blown out by 17 at home, hands of the Utah Jazz.
Oh, okay. So they haven't been playing third since quarter. The second quarter. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 80-63. So when they get here, fresh legs.
They'll be well rested, yeah.
Fresh legs. Just catch the bus real quick, get up here. All good. Ready to go.
Might send half the team home first. You guys just want to hop on that plane real quick?
Ready to go.
We'll come back for you.
Ready to go. 610-632-0975. Paul, Shannon, Steve, Bilal. Those two open phone lines were filled up during the break, and then they opened back up. So jump in, guys. Session time. Question has been all night. What is your one main problem with this basketball team through 41 games? And we ask you to give a letter grade. Joe, GM, head coach.
Yes.
Not necessarily specific to this situation, but overall, what is your general outlook when it comes to the relationship of the general manager and the head coach?
I believe that they are two guys who are very interested in working together. I think that they are both, Elton Brand and Brett Brown, committed to finding a way to make it work.
Okay.
I'm concerned that philosophically there are mega differences. Like, mega differences.
And to your point, one comes in where one is already established.
Exactly.
Elton Brand gets in year number 6 of Brett Brown. And
who was just the GM, by the way.
Who was just the GM. They had to do that in conjunction. They made some questionable moves. Draft night.
Yes, eyebrow raisers.
Yeah. And, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
Elton Brand, though, knows Brett Brown not only as the head coach, as the general manager. He knows him as the head coach while the general manager of the Blue Coats,
right,
and his Sixers work. And Joe, he also knows him in another way as a player.
Right. Sure.
So he knows who the guy is in these different ways.
So I believe that that's how they can get along, you know? But it's clear, isn't it clear from roster construction that Elton Brand views the game through a prism, like through one kind of lens? And Brett Brown literally will tell you the way that he views the way to succeed in the NBA, and it's different.
Now, Brand said that we saw the team before, how they put it together with the shooting.
Yep.
And it did not work.
Right. That's what he said.
Yes. We saw the team last year, different team, where he went out there and got Jimmy Butler. I give it a thumbs up.
Yep, sure.
Tobias Harris, you can give it a thumbs up, but you can have your questions with that thumbs up.
Or what happened after.
Or what happened after.
Yeah.
Because you gave up the 2021. You gave up
Shamit. The bag.
Right. And all of that stuff goes into it. Who knows what you get if you don't get Mike Scott, Boban, James Ennis, Markel Fultz, whatever happens with him, Jonathan Simmons, that whole thing. And now he goes here in this way, which leads to the other part of the question, to your point, the roster construction. Joe, why is it not? Why is it that it is not working and still cannot work?
Well, I think that it is partly due to that dynamic that you were talking about between the GM and the head coach, right? Because I think
defense, pace, and space is what Brett Brown has always preached.
Defense supposedly check, right? I think that
both of them,
right? I think that it works. There's no problem. Pace and space is difficult to play with the group that's assembled, as far as I'm concerned.
No J.J. Redick, no Landry Shamet.
There's no space.
Robert Covington, if
you will. The space is the problem. You know what I mean? Like, you've got Simmons and Embiid, both of whom, now in different ways and through different avenues, want to occupy the same space. Then you've got Al Horford, who also enjoys lurking in that same space. You know what I mean? You've got guys who are the two shooters that you have. Josh Richardson, who I would call an emerging shooter. Is that fair? Like, not somebody who's like an
still
established,
growing,
like, lockdown guy.
Yeah.
And Tobias Harris, who, I mean, to be, I want to be entirely fair to him because I think that he's played well. From the outside, he's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde shooter. Like, there's sometimes you don't feel like he's ever going to miss another 3-point shot. And then there's sometimes, like, literally anyone else on the team should be shooting.
I want that 40%, 44% Clippers Tobias Harris.
Where's that guy?
Yes.
That's exactly it. Yep. So, I mean, I think that that's where the problem is. I think that you could get a coach who either was a big man or is used to playing with all that size or whatever, you could get a coach to do Elton Brand stuff. Or you could get a GM to assemble a Brett Brown roster. I just think that it's a tough marriage right now this year. And the other thing, you talked about it, they've determined that things don't work very quickly. So, like, there's been very little time for any given lineup or group or roster to come together, and it seems like we're figuring each other out, quote-unquote, every single year for, like, the last 3 years.
And that's what's the frustrating part when it goes back to what you just said, because, once again, we go to Toronto, Milwaukee, Boston, Indiana. Teams that also had to change things, personnel, like important pieces.
Yeah, sure, of course.
And while we are not in those cities, we pay attention because we want the Sixers to be up there in the standings,
right,
and all. They don't seem to be having the same problems.
And it doesn't seem like if things don't work right away that they flip the table. You know what I mean? Think about Boston and the way that they had to totally remake their roster twice in the last 4 years, right? Like, you don't get the impression that at the first sign of something not working, they're like, all right, we're trading everybody, bringing in new pieces, like, we're holding on to two guys, and then that's it. Like, I just get the impression that patience has been an organizational issue.
All right, and we're about to go to Paul.
All right, yes.
610-632-0975. Let me run these. You'll get the exercises I go with. Eric Spoelstra, Brett Brown.
Spoelstra, yeah.
Brad Stevens, Brett Brown.
Brad Stevens didn't have a great year last year, but Brad Stevens.
All right.
Nick Nurse, Brett Brown.
To me, that might be a wash. Nurse has done an overall better job, though, I think. Nick Nurse.
Nate McMillan, Brett Brown.
I don't know.
I'll
call that a wash.
Mike Budenholzer, Brett Brown.
Budenholzer.
All right, you went wash twice.
Yeah.
And you kind of lean the other way on the one wash.
On the one wash, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah.
What about you? Oh, man. Yeah. D didn't have any washes in there.
Yeah, probably all of them.
Yeah, D didn't have any washes in there.
Yeah. And the only one, really, that you would look at and you say, Nate McMillan. Well, he did have success before in Portland.
He did.
While they had to move on because he was a little bit harder of a coach, defensive-oriented. He adjusted in Indiana now, mm-hmm, when he got his second gig to be totally different. He's been without his star player. He's lost his star player, right? All this stuff. Victor Oladipo, players moving on, that type of thing. And he still finds a way to have this team in a position that they are. And right now they're in front of the Sixers in the standings.
By the way, we went back to the Indy game on November 30th.
Oh, yeah. I was wrong. I said that it was closer. And
that was a 3-point.
Joe did the work.
Yeah, that was a 3-point win, and it was tight the entire way.
Yeah.
So it might have been tied after it was tied after the third quarter.
And now we go to the session with Paul and Margate.
All right, Paul.
What's up, Paul?
Hey, Devon.
What up?
Devon, how you doing?
Good, man.
I've been listening all day, all the criticism of Ben Simmons. I mean, he can't do this, he can't do that. We know that he can't shoot. I think he should be shooting 2-pointers at 15, 17 feet. But all this criticism, I thought they were talking about Tony Roten. I mean, everybody's criticized enough. Not one person, except you did when you were talking to somebody a little while ago, brought up his defense and how great it is.
Absolutely.
Not one person. Like it didn't even count. I mean, and that, let's get rid of him for D'Angelo Russell, who, by the way, last year,
heck no,
between game 2 and 5, Simmons shut him out. He shot 29%. And, you know, people just want to get rid of this guy. I looked at Jason Kidd's stats, okay, his first guy. Do you know his third year in the league, he shot 40% on twos.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 10 points a game. He didn't get over 15 points a game until his sixth or seventh year, and he's still only shooting 45%. You got a guy like Simmons, he's shooting 56%. He doesn't shoot threes. I understand that. I don't think he has to shoot threes. I think he has to shoot the mid-range jumper, though. I will agree there. But this guy's only in his second and a half year. He only played 2.5 years so far. And we want to get rid of him for guys just to get guys in here who can shoot. His defense, he's probably the best defensive guard in the league, and he can guard 1 to 4.
Yeah, he should be first team All-NBA defense, yeah, with whoever guard is out there. The thing is with that, and you're right, it's when you pretty much carry yourself in this way, Paul, as that guy, especially when Embiid is out, people expect you to be that guy. I am one of them, and I'm a supporter of him, as you know. And I am critical of him, as you know, yeah, because he is so frustrating, and then you still love him on the other side. And you're right, he is young, he is year 3 on the floor, he is 4 overall. There's no reason in the world why he is not shooting 40% from twos. He's shooting 50-plus because he's that fantastic. We want him to expand that a little bit and shoot those 40 by mixing in those mid-range jumpers and things of that nature.
I know. I understand, and
the turnovers. And the turnovers. Plus, the way this team is built, they are built to win right now because, let's be honest, you have no idea how long you're going to have Joel Embiid.
I'm just comparing to other great guards. Jason Kidd turned the ball over a lot in the beginning, too. I mean, he's only 2.5 years. And Jason Kidd was a good defensive player. But
yes, he was.
He couldn't defend guards. He couldn't guard forwards.
Hey,
he
man.
He was too small.
Yeah.
Okay? But, you know, and as far as the team, I think they don't have an identity.
Okay,
I mean, we're supposed to be playing bully ball at the beginning of the year. Bully ball this. Last week, Brett Brown says we don't shoot enough threes.
Yeah.
So what do? We shoot 46 threes against on Saturday's game.
Houston.
We shoot 30-some yesterday. That's ridiculous.
Oh, you're talking about Dallas game. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Dallas game, 40-some threes we shot. Yesterday we shot 35. And we keep on missing them, but what do? We keep on shooting them. We don't try to get a better shot. When you're missing like that, you don't have to shoot them. The other team's defense is, let us shoot.
Yeah.
Just like they used to do it in Catala. Go ahead, shoot the three. You're open. We'll give it to you.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing.
But, real fast, give us a letter grade on this one.
I still think they're C minus, and most of it is because I'm not a big Brett Brown fan.
There you go.
He had enough time, and at this point, he's just, like I said, the team has no identity. He seems to be wanting to play one way. And Elton Brand traded for us to play big, okay?
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to be working. And we had 3 good defensive players on this team, but our team defense stinks. Every quarter, we have a 35.
I think you have 4 good defensive players. Yeah, you got 4 because Horford, Embiid, Richardson, and Simmons. Thanks for the call, man. Really good stuff. The Iguodala thing, I never had a problem with him shooting. You have to shoot.
Yeah, you got to try.
You have to shoot.
Yeah. If we're
not great at it.
If we're going to say that for the sake of spacing, we're going to throw out the result and the shot just has to happen, then we got to be consistent with it. You
right,
know what I mean?
Exactly.
Iggy's allowed to shoot.
Exactly. Exactly. Another C minus, Joe.
Yeah.
Another C minus.
It's because of the expectations. It's not because of like how they've like we were talking about Memphis, right? Projected to be the worst team in the league.
Who
right?
is Tyler Jennings?
Right, yeah, like what does that mean?
Yeah, who is that?
So do you have, if you were grading Memphis, what would you grade Memphis so far?
Tyler Jenkins, by the way, I was asking. I said Jennings. You know what I was thinking of?
Ken Jeopardy. Jennings?
Yeah.
Who? Killing it, the GOAT.
Yeah, yeah.
You give them an A.
I would give them
you?
An A. They were supposed to be the worst team in the league.
That's
arguably.
Exactly right, and they're
with
the
Cleveland.
Eighth seed. So, how could you have the eighth seed an A and the Sixers a C minus? Because the Sixers were not supposed to be where they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's the expectations that have us, you know, kind of going that way.
And Taylor Jenkins.
I'm sure that there's some guy that.
I'm sorry,
Ken Jennings.
We're all over the place.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
610-632.
You don't watch a lot of Memphis.
0975. No, I watch them. I don't pay attention to it. I know who he is, but that's the thing. If I say Taylor Jenkins, it'd be like, who?
Leroy Jenkins?
Yeah, him.
Him.
And I just got a text from a friend. C. All the expectations. Ben is annoying me, and the coach lost the team.
Yes, in Spanish. C.
There you go. C. David, Bilal in South Philly, next in the session. What's up, Bilal?
What's up, Delon? How you doing,
man? Oh, man.
Happy New Year to you guys, man.
Same to you, man.
Thank you.
But, you know. Oh, man, listen. You guys just hit it on the... y'all hit the nail on the hammer. Like, everything y'all said is relevant to coaching. It's coaching because... Now, everybody want to say, oh, Brett Brown, he's not a bad coach. He's a good... Maybe he is. But you know what? He's not the coach for this team because this team cannot play the ball that Elton Brand wants them to play with Brett Brown. He's not that kind of coach. Maybe he can go somewhere in the West where they shoot a lot of threes and they do this and they... Maybe he might be a good... He's not the coach for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'm tired of giving him a pass because he went through the process. Guess what, Brett Brown? We went through the process. How about that? We was the ones that went through the process. And all you did was get paid for the process, and we paid to see the process. So my thing is this. We need to let him go. We need to find a better coach that's going to suit this team and move on. Everybody want to move on from players. No, we need to move on from the coach. Listen, I'm going to say this, Devon. I'm 57 years old. A lot of the younger children, younger callers mm-hmm. are saying, Brett Brown needs to go, Brett Brown. And these are the young people that's into the 3-and-D. They into the 3-point. The older people saying, oh, no, the young kids, they just not doing. Ben Simmons, he just can't. Listen, all we got to do is know one thing, and that is the team plays for the coach. If the team
Let me ask you something, because I think that you're right. Like, when the team hired Brett Brown knowing that they were going to go through the process, there are only so many of those jobs. Brett Brown's an assistant. You know, you want to get that job, whatever. You do what you have to do. Right. Honest question. How attractive are the Sixers right now to a mega time, like a big time coach, in the event that Brett Brown gets fired?
You know what? And I'm going to answer that, Joe. Very attractive. You know why? You know why they're very attractive? Because they got Ben Simmons. They got Embiid. I don't care what anybody say about my man Horford. I like him. Richard, I like him. The starting five is elite. The starting five is elite.
They are.
It's Brett Brown.
Okay. That's why we're asking.
We can't say we're going to play bully ball, right?
Yeah.
And then turn around and shoot 56 threes, 35. Where's the bullies at?
To be fair, he said smash mouth offense, defense.
Okay, smash mouth. We ain't smashing nobody in the mouth. We getting smashed in the mouth.
Hey, yo, give us the letter grade on the way out, Bilal.
Man, I'm going to give him a D because of Brett Brown.
Ah, jeez. Jeez, thanks for the call, man. Another Brett Brown. All right.
Same question to you, D.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, Bilal, entitled to his opinion, I'm not sure how psyched a big-time coach would be to come and coach this team.
An example is big-time. Mean like Greg Popovich?
How about guys who are available? You know, Van Gundy's and Jason Kidd, for example. Like, how psyched would those guys who have already been coaches? You're not talking about young up and coming, like trying to break in at the NBA head coaching level. You're talking about somebody to shepherd these guys to an NBA championship. I don't know, man. It's a weirdly constructed team. Right, it's different. It's not your standard cookie cutter kind of team.
Yeah,
you got Elton Brand there, who obviously has pretty much a mandate from ownership. Like, Elton Brand kind of does what he wants. I don't know how amazing the situation is. There's a lot of talent. There's no doubt about it.
Well, you know, the easy answer right away would be there's only 30 of these jobs, so you take the job. All right,
but
cool.
But these guys have been offered before.
Sure, right.
That's what it
is. And they can turn them down. Ty Lue was offered the Lakers job. He said, I wanted this, but you're not giving it to me? I'm out. And he took an assistant job.
Nah.
Right. I'm an assistant now with Doc Rivers again. I'm cool with that for the time being.
This is what I'm saying. It's not guys who are trying to break in and get their first jobs.
Yeah. These are the guys that can wait until the offseason and have
get
their
the
pick.
Right job.
Yeah. I still think it's attractive, especially when you have the ego of a coach and say, I can fix that.
I can work with this.
I can fix that. And when I'm in my interview session, I'm probably saying, you know what, EB? Yeah, let's change this right here. I have my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing.
I hope that works.
All right, 610-632-0975. Steve, hang on. We got you first. Shan, got you on the other side as well. Dominic, Dave, Chris, Tim. Session time. We're hanging out. Joe Torre, Devon Givens until 10 together right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
928, 97.5 The Fanatic, Joe Torre, Devon Givens, Nat producing. We're in the session till 10 o'clock together, 610-632-0975. The session, of course, the 25-16 Philadelphia 76ers after 41 games. It's been a topic all day today. I spoke about them last night in the post because I was mad.
Yes.
And here we are still. 20, almost 24 hours ago, and we're talking about this same thing right here. But I do want to tell you about the Fanatic Pro Shop.
Oh, yeah.
The holiday gift giving season is over, but the Fanatic Pro Shop is open for business. Now that you are finished buying gifts for everyone else, it's time to buy something for you. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports team merchandise and apparel at discount prices. The Fanatic Pro Shop can be found at 975thefanatic.com. There you go. You enjoy that. You just spend some money to kind of, you know, take away some of the frustrations.
Dude, I bought more spiteful gifts this year than any year I've had, like, where I was just in a bad mood, so I started dishing it out. I'm like, this person probably wants this stuff. Joe probably wants a lightsaber.
There you know, go.
Like all this kind of stuff. I went crazy.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
The Pro Shop is a great place to hit up.
97.5 is Fanatic. Correct. Go check it out. Should we get back to the phones?
I suppose.
Let's go back to the phones. We can do that because we got a lot of people waiting. Steve, Shan, Dominic, Dave, Chris, Tim in session is in play. Steve in South Jersey with your letter grade right here on 97.5. What's up, Steve?
I would say my letter grade would be for Embiid, like maybe A minus B.
Now give us an overall team.
I would say overall at this time of the year, I would say C.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
And I've been a Sixers fan for 50 years. All right, and I love them, and I'm a critique. I'm a former coach and a player, Division I, so I know a little bit about it. Embiid has got a great game. He's got a soft touch. He can shoot. I think him and Ben Simmons both need to be coached better.
Well, so what do you mean specifically? If you were bringing in a coach to coach both of those guys, what would that coach be doing or telling them to do?
Okay, well, Brett Brown is the man. I mean, if you're a player, you're going to respect your coach. All right, and Brett should be using both Ben and Joel Embiid to their ultimate. Ben can definitely run the floor. I think he could be a better player than what he is. He needs to improve his outside jump shot. You know that. All right?
Yep.
Joel can shoot. He's good inside. He's dominant. That's where he should be. He shouldn't be shooting three-pointers outside.
I don't mind him shooting threes as long as he doesn't take more than three, because I think it is a part of his arsenal offensively where he's just that skilled. And as Joe was talking about earlier, where the way the league is today, you just happen to have one of the guys who was able to do that as a big man. I don't have a problem with him shooting. It's just when he shoots them sometimes that can be frustrating.
Yeah, but if he does, he's going to rebound.
That's what you have your other big guys for: Tobias Harris, Al Horford, Ben Simmons.
Okay, I like Tobias Harris. He can shoot, too.
He can rebound as well.
And he can rebound. You're right.
Yeah.
And Ben is a good player. I just think that Brett Brown should do a better job of coaching. So I would give him a C, maybe a C plus.
Yeah, so that's the average right there. Thanks for the call, Steve, of about a C.
Yeah, yeah, we're getting a lot of that.
A lot of C. By the way, did you see the Sports Illustrated cover?
No.
I know you watched the game last night.
Uh-huh.
By the way, Brady, Carolina.
It's cool. No?
You didn't want him for the Eagles?
So, I would have been interested. I heard that Hines Ward might be interested in the wide receiver job for the Eagles. Which
is that right? That's why his name is trending?
Yeah, I signed up for three of those.
I thought it was like a Hall of Fame thing or something.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I'd like that.
Well, I know. We talked about that.
Toughness in the room.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Well, it says the GOAT. GEAUXT.
Nice.
With Joe Burrows running and pointing.
I'm
you
sorry.
Gotta see it.
There's a lot of Tim Tebow and Cam Newton fans out there that are going to be mad at this. Objectively, the greatest football season for any player ever. That was the best college football season for any singular player, and it wasn't even close.
And I hope we do our draft show like we did last couple of years.
We'll call his name first.
Big difference, Cincinnati, for him? With him, sorry.
I don't know.
A lot of work to do.
Cincinnati's a mess.
A lot of work to do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of work to do.
But I think he helps a lot more than Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray.
He's a real deal.
Let's say that.
Yeah, he's a real deal. Shannon in Georgia next in the session on 97.5. What's up, Shannon?
Hey, doing great, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Always. Welcome, Shannon.
Hey, to jump right into it, Sixers, in my opinion, they're D at the absolute best. To start at the top, Alton Brand. I like Alton Brand, but I've got to, at this point, give him a D-, really, because he brought in guys and really overpaid guys like Al and Tobias. He didn't have to pay those guys that much money. You got, this year, you're paying out about $70 million between Harris, Hallford, and Mike Scott. And you mean to tell me you couldn't fit J.J. Redick, you know, and you're paying those three guys $70 million this year? I'm not sure he really, he and Brett really sat down with Al Horford and really gave him an honest, picture of what we really needed this year from Al. I mean, I know Al was saying, oh, I get to play power forward, but man, you're not going to turn into Dirk Nowitzki then, man. We need you to be A.C. Green, you know, get some rebounds and bang and do the dirty work to keep, you know, to help keep Joel healthy this season. So, you know, he's been a miserable disaster with those signings this year. You know, then moving on to Brett Brown. I got to give Brett a D. Brett lacks creativity as a coach. If you noticed last year, he did the same thing this year. I'm going to throw my best five guys out there, have them play, you know, 36, 38 minutes, and then see what happens. That's not coaching. I mean, this guy, he sat behind Popovich for years. And when I think of the championship teams, I think of guys like, you know, like Matt Bonner, like Boris Diaw. I mean, these guys started, you know? I mean, I've been saying for a year now, you know, why don't you try bringing Tobias off the bench? You get no scoring off the bench. Tobias is a great guy to come off the bench. And I'd say, hey, Tobias, you're going to be the sixth man. You're going to be the sixth man of the year. You know, you got to balance out your roster, balance out this team a little bit, especially when you've got such a bad mixture with your starting five lineup right now. So I blame those guys. You know, I'm not as hard on Ben because, in my opinion, Ben is who he is and who he is always going to be. You know, I've always laughed at the idea of this guy, why he's going to get better. I mean, I've said it before. This Ben Simmons was not playing, you know, police athletic league basketball like the rest of us. If there's a guy in the league that should be advanced for his age because he's been around pro ball all his life, it's Ben Simmons. You know, he's not like Siakam, who picked up a basketball for the first time at 13. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's been around pro basketball since he was 2 years old. Mm-hmm. He is who he is. You know, this stuff that he's going to get better, we need to give it a break. And so that's why I give the team a D.
You got it, man. Shan, as always, thanks for the call. What you think? Tobias Harris off the bench?
So the book on Tobias Harris, and you said this too, is that he's a volume type dude, as opposed to somebody who can kind of be a microwave, instant offense kind of guy. I mean, I like the idea of bringing somebody off the bench. I don't know if Harris is the guy. You know, I'm intrigued a little bit by, like, maybe you bring Josh Richardson off the bench. You know, and you have Thibault starting in that spot, and then mm-hmm. you know, have a quick switch or whatever. But now I was thinking about it. One of the issues that maybe I have with Brett Brown is, or not Brett Brown, with Alton Brand, rather, is you get the impression that he gets singularly focused on stuff sometimes. And like we talked about Brett Brown's adaptability. Like, isn't it apparent now that like in the movie Draft Day, Elton Brand's writing on the little post-it note, Matisse Thybulle, no matter what, and like that was
gotcha.
Like that's what it's going to be with the Al Horford contract. Like here,
right. You could have
you're like, oh, I can take him from the Celtics. I don't care. Write the check.
Yeah,
like, whatever. You know what
Instead
I mean?
Instead of saying, oh, Malcolm Brogdon. Not to say they weren't.
Right, but like, do you get that impression at all that like sometimes he's focused on like the prize?
Yes.
And doesn't pay attention to like the Carson Edwards out there or like whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
I hear you.
I don't know.
I hear you.
I've got questions.
Huh. That's a good point, though.
Yeah,
it's a good point
because
you don't want him to be only focused on the one thing.
Get the blinders. Yeah. I mean, it's good. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's probably served Elton Brand really well over the course of his entire life to be singularly focused on stuff and trying to achieve goals and things like that. But, you know, we had questions about the way that the draft went. We had questions about the way the free agency went. And, you know, he said it will all make sense soon. That's spoken like a guy who, like, is focused on one particular outcome. There's no way they could have seen J.J. Redick walking out the door the way he did. There's no way.
Yeah,
couldn't have seen that coming. That fast? First guy signed to free agency is J.J.?
Yeah. Well, first person, maybe not, but understanding him going that quick, yes, because of knowing his pecking order, he knows.
Yeah.
They're going to focus on Jimmy first.
Yeah.
Tobias, I'm going to have to wait. My money may not be there.
Right.
I got to roll.
I got to go. Yeah, nobody blames JJ for that.
No, not at all. not at all. Let's go to Dominic in West Philly next in the session. What's up, Dom?
What's happening, y'all? I'm loving the show, man. I'm loving it.
Thank you.
What up?
So I'm going to give him a C-, right? It would be a flat C, but it's because they're mediocre, but they don't realize they're mediocre. Right? So this is the thing. My reason, my number one problem is attitude. And it's attitude of the players more than a coach, right? So it's just like two things that brings me back to Mike Singletary saying, I need winners, right? Winning is a habit. Losing is a habit, right? Mm-hmm. Winning is attitude. It's your attitude. And so I illustrate this by pointing to our crown jewel. At the end of the best game of the year, Milwaukee Bucks, they interview him. What does he say? I'm paraphrasing. I'm Joel Embiid. Everybody knows who I am. I'm just trying to get to the playoffs. And once I get to the playoffs, I'm going to turn it on.
Man, I'm trying to get down there.
Right, right. So this attitude permeates from the crown jewel down the crown, right? Everybody thinks like this now. He's the head. Right. So it's attitude. It's attitude super trumps scheme, because at the end of the game, a player is going to go get them points. Why did they like Jimmy Butler so much? Attitude.
Mm-hmm.
He was the adult in the room.
Well, who is they?
All of us.
Yeah, us. I thought you meant staffers, like the team, because that's the one thing that I've always heard. Brett Brown may not be able to handle that type of personality to what you're talking about, attitude.
Yes, and I will say this, though. His head will roll, and it should roll, right? And I love Brett, but we're going to have his head. But what's going to happen is we're hoping that someone's going to come in and change these guys' attitude, because everyone agrees that we have all the talent in the world. So we're hoping someone's going to change attitude, and attitude adjustment is a personal thing. If you're not, your attitude is going to, your success is based on your attitude. They're grown men. So, like, we hope we get a coach that'll come in and change their Ben Simmons' attitude. But if he doesn't do it and Joel doesn't get his head out his butt and get focused and get hungry and get determined, right? If they're this casual team, and they think that they can just go in, because the only way we're going to keep Brett is if they become giant killers. We sneak into the playoffs as a seventh seed, and then we wind up, because they say we're built for the playoffs, we sneak in as a seventh seed and then start killing
people. It better not be no sneaking in, no seventh seed with this team down. Listen, man, thanks so much, man. Joe, they better not sneak up anywhere.
Yeah, but
seventh seed?
After 41 games.
Oh, heck no.
They're closer to the seven than the two.
Mm-mm.
They are built for the playoffs, though. I will say that. They're a much better...
Yeah, but I don't want to hear that right now.
No, no, it's not time in the session.
I don't hear that right
not
now.
Not in the session.
No.
I'm with you.
No, because even when we talked to Anthony over the last couple of days, and he says, you know, built for 16, and he's right.
Not right now.
I want the work. And I'm not even worried about the final numbers. Like I told you before, when we were doing everything in the summer, I don't care about 50 wins anymore.
Right. But if you're going
to
suck on the
road. But you have to get them, I understand, because you're that good.
If you're going
to
be bad on the road, though, you better not be playing more road playoff games than home playoff games.
You better not be.
That doesn't work.
You better not be. Final segment for us here in the session. Joe Torty, Devon Givens, Nats producing. Coming up on the other side, guys. Sit tight. Chris, David, Kevin, James, Lou. One open phone line right here. 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.9 final segment. Joe Torty, Devon Givens, session. Sixers, 41 games in. 25-16.
And this is the dual session.
Yes.
I'm going to continue the session.
Great.
After you move on.
Great.
Because there's a lot of pent up going on.
And I will leave the grades, the problems, the issues that people have.
All the paperwork. All the paperwork.
You need all the paperwork, of course, for the session. So let's keep it moving, man. While we have people waiting to get in on the session, we go to David in New Jersey next on 97.5. What's up, Dave?
What's up, fellas? Goodness gracious. What the heck is going on with you all, man?
Hey, man, we had to do a session tonight, man. 41 games in, they're 25-16. Unacceptable.
Well, number one, I disagree with the coaches. The only people that sit around and complain about Joel Embiid like he's darn near Jahlil Okafor are Philadelphia people. The rest of the people around the NBA think that this guy can be something absolutely wonderful. So I believe that a lot of coaches that were out there, like a Dwayne Casey, mm-hmm. would love to come to Philadelphia, but I wouldn't get him.
Okay.
I would move. I can never pronounce his
name. Ime Udoka.
Yeah, man. But I'd slide him on over. I think that
I prefer Kevin Young, but that's just me.
Either or, as long as it doesn't matter. Honestly, I'm gonna be 100 with you. It doesn't matter. The problem is who the coach is. I think all of them would prefer a change. I'm gonna throw that out there. Don't be surprised if something happens soon. That's all I'm going to say. I got a text today from a friend. Don't be surprised if something happens soon because the players have had enough. But I think
I agree with that. My only thing is I just don't know that they'll do it in season. But you might be right.
I would slide someone over. But the reason why let Brett go. But I've said this for 3 years since the Tony Roten days. He reminds me of an AAU coach. He coaches for himself. Like, there's no way in the world that you could know, even if Elton never spoke to you about it. Oh, by the way, we should not be going in on Elton Brand either, by the way. But even if Elton didn't call you about it, you knew as a coach that Al Horford was coming. You knew against Boston that Al Horford is a pick-and-pop player. He's a guy that gets set and shoots threes. You knew as a coach that he's not a guy that he'll catch it on a move and dribble and pull up for a three. He's not a guy to catch it on a move and do anything. He's a guy that gets in his spot, and you know this. You knew that Josh Richardson was a pick and roll guy. You knew that Tobias Harris is more of a rhythm shooter. But what the dude did is he said, "Hey man, when I've been on that bench for 12 years, I've had this system in my head and we're gonna run my concept." And I believe Brett Brown's arrogance is what this problem is. And I also believe it rubs off on Ben Simmons. And I believe one caller who said that their attitudes. I'm a high school teacher. Let me tell you something. You come in my class and my class is completely out of control. Yeah, my students may add extra because of their attitude, but best believe the teacher set the tone.
Mm.
So at some point, you have to look at me and go, you have honor students. Why are they getting C pluses? I can tell Lil JoJo, stop doing your work real quick just so you can play Fortnite. I can tell Ben, yep. Hey, Ben, you got to show your math, work, and geometry. But the problem is, what are you serving them? What is your curriculum? And when you look at his Sixers play, really quickly, I just want to say, everyone gets on Embiid about his health. Let me explain to you the physics of it. 7'2", 270. Your coach, you, as a center, you go from one rim to the other rim. Every possession. You're not a guard. Your coach tells you on offense, you're going to stop at the top of the key. You're going to pass the ball. You're going to run to the left block. You're going to pass the ball again. You're going to go down to low block. You might get the ball to pass to get in on defense. You're going to play everybody because you switch. That ain't going to tire you out at 7'2", 270.
Yeah, but to your point, you're absolutely right. But just like you know, I know as well how he handles things when it comes to his conditioning.
I'm not knocking that. I'm not saying it at all. That's why they need a change.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I believe the system is structured.
Yeah, but
wrong.
is it too late where those guys are so used to being in their ways that they won't change?
Nah, I'll tell you why it's not too late. I don't know about Ben, but with Embiid, people mocked him and made fun of him, like, oh, you need someone to motivate you. But the fact that he took public criticism and said, really? You might be right. Let me do something about it. And has played to that level ever since, shows that he wants to learn. Ben Simmons, I tell everybody that maybe we ought to stop looking for him to be the scorer. In high school, D'Angelo Russell was the alpha dog.
Yeah, on that team, on my bird, yeah.
Right, on college, it was Quarterman. So I'm like, Ben is a jack-of-all-trades, master of many except for one.
The shooting.
They just need a coach that goes, to me.
Hey, Dave, give us a grade.
I'm going to give him a C like everybody else.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, great stuff, man. And we'll be monitoring if something happens soon, like you said. So make sure you call.
I'm a Cowboys fan. Jason Garrett got fired. Anything happened to
him. All right, Dave. Thanks, man. You know what? Let's squeeze one more in before I get out of here.
Yeah.
So we can do that. Let's go to James in Farmington and Session. Final on the Session. What's up, James?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, James.
Listen, I've been a 76er fan for 50 years. I'm not calling to bash Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, in my opinion, is the most frustrating, real good 76er player that I can remember.
That's why we talk about him. Yep.
Yeah. Now, let me just say this with his jump shot, because I think if he develops a jump shot, he's on another level, which the Sixers need. Let me use an analogy here. There was a great athlete last year in another sport. All right. He got the starting quarterback job about halfway through the year. And he went through the season. Okay. Great athlete, great running quarterback. But his passing, not too good. You could tell. But he still fought through it. He got the team into the playoffs. In the first round, they played at home. They played the Chargers. And the Chargers put 7-8 in the box. And we had to throw. And frankly, he had a terrible day to embarrassment. His home fans booed him off the field when the game ended. Now, what did this gentleman do? Did he go the off season and not work on his game? No. He did the complete opposite. He worked on his passing game, okay? And he came into this season, got off to a great start, gave his team the best record in football all year. And you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
And I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and let me tell you something. When the Ravens lost last Saturday night, I was very happy. With all due respect to Derrick Henry, who in my opinion is the Jim Brown of this era, the Chiefs can easily lose this week. I'm not saying that. But to see how Lamar Jackson, and I saw it September, the way he developed his passing game put him on another level. And now, you know, they got beat, and you think Lamar Jackson's just going to go on vacation? No, he's going to work some more.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if we can put 20%, 25% of the drive that's in Lamar Jackson's body and put it in Ben Simmons, maybe we can get something going here with this jump shot. Let me ask you this. What is harder for Lamar Jackson to develop a passing game in the NFL where every game counts, all right, 60 games, you can't, you know, you got to make the play, right? Or, which he did, all right, or for Ben Simmons to develop a jump shot in a league where they play no defense in the regular season, take about maybe 7-8 shots a game. If he goes 1-for-8, 2-for-7.
No, we're with you. Yeah, we're with you on
all
that.
Right? Was it harder for Lamar Jackson to do it? Remember, the quarterback's the main man.
No, I got you. Well, listen, man, you got to give us a letter grade for the season.
Okay. Oh, for the Sixers?
Yeah.
a C, and that's generous. And it's not going to get any better.
No, and listen, the C is where we most of us been. That's the average, James. Thanks so much for the call. Joe, average of C, man.
Yeah, that's what we've gotten. That's what we've gotten. I do think, though, Lamar Jackson's passing problems were overblown in college. He was a really good passer. Every quarterback got like mechanical things that NFL coaches want to get their hands on. But
yeah.
I hear the point. By the way, not the best time to make it, though, because, I mean, Lamar kind of messed up a lot in the first half against Tennessee. And that's, you know, he had 500-something yards by the end, but playing catch-up the whole way.
And he will work to be better.
Oh, you bet on that.
You know he is.
You bet on that.
You know he is. Hey, man. Thanks so much, man. It's been a long time coming for this one.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Can't believe it.
I know. We'll do this again soon.
Let's make it happen.
Guys, 610-632-0975. Joe's going to keep the session going on the other side. Thanks to Connor Thomas, Nat Marlowe stepping in. Appreciate it as well, producing the show. I'll be back tomorrow at 6 before Sixers Nets. Huh? Get excited. Home game.
I'm going to be there. I'll be at the center.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
What are you doing?
Checking things out. Making friends.
The box thing.
No, there's a box thing that I missed?
I heard Mike giving away like tickets or something.
What? I got to get in on that. No, that's not me.
Oh, my bad.
I'll be schlubbing it with the rest of the people.
Oh, my bad. Sorry about that.
Yeah, thanks.
Good to see you, man.
Oh, yeah, I'll see you at the party.
I'll be here. I'll be here tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Session continues with Joe Torti next on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.